Please open your Bibles to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5, if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word, Galatians chapter 5. Beginning at verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. You may be seated. We are looking at the fruit of the Spirit. I would remind you that Paul uses the singular when he talks about the fruit, conveying to us that these things are united. There is an organic unity in the fruit of the Spirit. There are 9 virtues that are listed under the fruit of the Spirit. The one that begins the list is love. We have gone through most of these in the past, and last week we began looking at the virtue of faithfulness. Faithfulness is the quality of being faithful. A faithful man is a man whose service we can rely on, whose loyalty we may depend upon, whose word we can unreservedly accept. It describes a man who is unswerving in his commitments. The faithful man is worthy of trust. He is honest. He is loyal. He is dependable. He is reliable. As we consider faithfulness, we were reminded last week that God Himself in the Scripture is described as faithful. We remember the words of Jeremiah in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23, great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful. God is faithful, we are reminded, when it comes to His promises. God makes a multitude of promises to His people, and God is faithful to those promises. Peter reminded us again this morning of the renewal of the covenant from Joshua. And you might remember that in the renewal of the covenant there were blessings and cursings. God says to His people, if you are unfaithful, these curses will come upon you. If you are faithful, I will bless you. And as we have studied the Old Testament minor prophets, we have found that God was faithful to His promise to bring His covenant curses upon those people who were supposed to be His, but who were unfaithful to their covenant commitment to Him. They did not walk in obedience. They did not worship God, but they chose to worship God either in a false way, or they chose to worship God in an idolatrous way. They were unfaithful to God, which at least one minor prophet describes as spiritual adultery. They were unfaithful to their covenant commitment to God, and God, in fulfillment of His promise, brought those curses to bear upon them, and they suffered mightily, first at the hands of the Assyrians, the northern kingdom, and then later the southern kingdom at the hands of the Babylonians. Why? Because God was being faithful to His promise. God is faithful, and we can depend upon His promises. You might remember that in the book of Genesis, after the fall, God promises that there would be one who would crush Satan's or the serpent's head while at the same time having his heel bruised. That is a promise of the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the one who would crush Satan under his heel while suffering for the sins of his people. Now, it took a long time for God to fulfill that promise, but God is always faithful to His promises. You might remember that in relationship to Abraham, God made promises to Abraham, and some of them were fulfilled in Abraham's lifetime. And even those promises, particularly the one of a descendant, took many years, took 2.5 decades to be fulfilled, and yet God fulfilled His promise. But you might remember that Abraham never possessed the promised land. But God eventually was faithful in the fulfillment of that promise to Abraham's descendants. God is faithful to His promises. And because God is faithful, He desires that His people be characterized by faithfulness. Faithfulness is a quality that God delights in. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, we read, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight." Those who deal faithfully, those who are reliable, those who are dependable, those who are trustworthy, those who fulfill their promises, those people, He says, are My delight. God delights in faithfulness. And we, as God's people, are to be faithful to Him. That faithfulness involves the keeping of our vows, the keeping of our promises made to Him. You might remember the writer of Ecclesiastes says, it is better not to do what? To vow than to vow and not pay. That is to vow and be unfaithful and not keep the vow. If you make a vow to God, or you make a vow in front of God, calling God as your witness to the promises that you're making, you better be faithful to that vow and to those promises. We are called to be faithful to God in relationship to His Word and living in obedience to that Word. Faithfulness to God is being obedient to His Word and is doing His will. So there is a Godward aspect to our faithfulness. But there is also a manward aspect to faithfulness, and we must not forget this. There is a faithfulness in human relationships that is extremely important. Yes, it is important for us to be faithful to God. And I hope that we can all say what Paul said toward the end of his life when he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In other words, what is Paul saying there? He is saying that in the ministry that God gave him to do, he was faithful. And it was Paul who wrote that it is required of a steward that one be found faithful. And so we noted last week that it was particularly important for those who are in leadership positions within the church to be faithful men. Faithful to the God who called them. Faithful to doctrine. Faithful to biblical truth. Faithful to their ordination vows. Faithful men are those that are needed in the church. And good stewards are those who are found to be faithful. But there is a faithfulness that should characterize our lives as God's people in our relationships with others. And what does that faithfulness look like? Well, first of all, faithfulness, a faithful man, is a man who keeps his promises. He is a person who, or she, who fulfills the terms of contracts or covenants that they have made despite the difficulties and obstacles in keeping them. And Peter stole a little bit of my thunder this morning, but I'm glad for that, because God works these things together for our good in order to help us remember. David notes that a characteristic of a true believer is his willingness to keep promises even in unfavorable circumstances. In Psalm 15, David gives a description of the citizens of Zion. That is the way my translation reads at the beginning of that psalm. One of the characteristics of a citizen of Zion is this, that he swears to his own hurt and does not change. And we saw a good example of that, did we not? From Joshua chapter 9. Yes, the leaders, Joshua included, acted foolishly, and they made promises that they should not have made. But once those promises were made, what did they do? They kept those promises. James Montgomery Boyce comments on this verse, and I quote, "No one has much trouble keeping his or her word when to do so is to the person's advantage. But how about when the conditions have changed and the promise, the agreement, or the contract is no longer to your advantage? Do you honor your promise then? Do you fulfill the contract? Or do you try to find some way to get out of what you committed yourself to?" The psalmist says that God approves people who keep their oaths even when it hurts them to do so. Promises are meant to be kept. And therefore, promises should never be made lightly. We should think before we speak. And when we make a promise, we need to remember that since our God is faithful to His promises, we as His people are to be characterized by faithfulness to our promises. Even when those promises are inconvenient, even when those promises are no longer working toward our advantage, even when those promises are hard to keep, we keep them. We promise in our marriage vows do we not? To be faithful to each other in sickness or in health. In good times and in bad times. But what happens when times aren't so good? What happens when keeping those vows are difficult? Do we keep them? Now, my dad does not profess to be a Christian. But in his day and age, a promise was a promise. And oftentimes, contracts were made and sealed by a handshake, not a piece of paper with a signature. And if you made your promise, you kept your promise. And when my mother was at the end of her life, and it was very difficult for my father, very inconvenient, very hard for him to care for her physically, he kept his promise. And he often said to me and to my siblings, I made a promise to your mother when we got married, and I'm going to be faithful to that promise. And he was faithful to the end. Now, isn't it sad that in our Christian world today, we are not as faithful to the promises that we make in relationship to our marriage vows? Yes, I know that there are those relationships that do end in divorce because of unfaithfulness. There are those that end because someone has broken their marriage vows and have deserted the other person. And those things Scripture allows for. But oftentimes, those vows are broken just because marriage is a little difficult. We keep our promises. We are to be characterized by faithfulness. I remember Gordon MacDonald years ago when I was in seminary. I was taking a class, and he talked about the importance of keeping our promises, not only in relationship to our spouses, but also the importance of keeping our promises in relationship to our children. And he gave, as an example, one occasion where he was invited to go to a conference and to speak. He was the keynote speaker at this conference. He told his son that he would be back on a certain afternoon to see his soccer game. Well, he was going to leave in the morning of this particular day so he could be home for the game in the afternoon, because he told his son, he promised his son he would be. Well, the guy who was heading up the conference came to him and said, "We have an open spot, and we would love for you to preach again." And he said, "Well, when do you want me to preach?" He said, "This afternoon." And Gordon said, "Can't do it. I would love to do it, but I can't do it. I made a promise to my son that I would be home to watch his soccer game." He said, "I will not break that promise. I cannot speak this afternoon. But if you want me to speak again, I could do it in the morning. If you'll make arrangements that my flight can be changed, move back a little bit, so I can fly out still in the morning." And the guy said, "Okay, we'll do it." But he kept his promise to his son. It is important for us as parents to set a good example before our children in terms of faithfulness, in terms of keeping our promises to each other as their parents, and keeping our promises in relationship to them as children. Secondly, faithfulness involves perseverance in Christian friendship and support during trials and conflicts. Brian Shortley, in relationship to J. Gresham Machen, noted that when he was taking a stand for orthodoxy, as the Presbyterian Church was going toward modernism, that he was forsaken by what Schwartley refers to as the mushy middle. They had made a commitment themselves to be faithful to the Scripture and to the standards, but were not. They were willing to compromise in areas where they should not have compromised. And Machen was not willing to do that. And what happened? Machen became the bad guy. And his friends forsook him and did not stand with him during those times. A faithful person remains at your side during the storms and persecutions and the trials and tribulations of life and does not abandon you. Those who work and suffer for the faith must not be forgotten by those of us who work for the faith but yet who suffer very little. The writer of Proverbs said, and I quote in Proverbs 18:24, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for diversity. And in Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Had a friend like that? They are invaluable. Because all of us are going to go through trials. All of us are going to go through difficulties. All of us are going to go through hard times. All of us are probably going to have the experience of people saying things about us that are not true. And what a wonderful thing it is when you've got a good friend who stands there side by side with you. Because what is true? One strand is easily broken. But with two, there's what? There's strength. Charles Bridges writes of Proverbs 17:17, the true friend loves at all times, in spite of evil report and good report. He does not change when the circumstances change. He is the same whether we are in wealth or in need. He is not ashamed of poverty or prison. A friend loves at all times and is born for adversity. There were those like Demas who Paul says, having loved this present world, did what? Deserted me. But there were those faithful friends. Remember I mentioned four last week that Paul notes in his epistles. Timothy, Tychicus, Epaphras, and Onesimus, whom he calls faithful servants of God. And they were faithful friends to the apostle. Faithfulness in friendship involves a willingness, thirdly, to confront and correct when necessary. A faithful friend in Christ doesn't tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. A faithful friend speaks the truth in love and seeks by the truth to help edify, strengthen, and if necessary, correct. Proverbs 27:6 reads, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Again, quoting from Charles Bridges, the mark of true godliness is readiness to have our faults pointed out and a thankfulness to those who undertake the self-denying office. He then quotes Bishop Kidner, A faithful reprover is a very great help in our Christian course. He is to be valued above the greatest treasure. He that would be safe must have a faithful friend or a bitter enemy, that he may fly from vice by the warnings of the one or by the strong denunciations of the other. I don't know about you, but I would rather have a faithful friend be the one who corrects my vices rather than suffer under the denunciation of an enemy. A faithful friend is not one who follows you in your sin and tells you that everything is okay. Those kind of people may appear to be your friend, but they are not. A faithful friend, a true friend, loves you enough and cares about you enough to be willing to speak the truth to you when he sees that you are going astray. Faithfulness. Not only to God, but faithfulness to each other. Faithful in our relationships, person to person. Now, how do we cultivate faithfulness? Well, we know that the Spirit is producing faithfulness. We know the Scripture tells us that we are to be faithful. How do we cultivate faithfulness? One way to cultivate faithfulness is this: to determine to obey the Word of God. Because when we determine to obey the Word of God, we will then be faithful in our actions. The psalmist writes, "I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I've made it my choice. Your ordinances I have set before me." In other words, the psalmist is saying, I have purposed in my heart to be faithful to your word. Secondly, remember and meditate on the faithfulness of God. I gave you several passages last week that speak of God's faithfulness. We need to read those verses often. And not only do we need to read them, we need to memorize some of them. And we need to commit them to memory so that we might meditate upon them. So that we might give thanks to God for His faithfulness to us. And as we remember God's faithfulness, then that is the basis for our faithfulness to Him and to other people. Thirdly, remember that Christ is coming, and you will give an account of what you have done with what you have been given. You remember that parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 24 about the landowner and the talents, or the master and the talents. And one slave received 5 talents, another slave received 2, and another slave 1. And the master went away, and he came back, and he called these servants to give an account of what they had done with the talents they had been given. And 2 of those, the one with 5 and the one with 2, put their talent to use and gained more. And these are the words that they heard the master say: "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But there was the evil servant who had the talent and did nothing with it, was not faithful to use it. And in the parable, he is called an evil servant. What do you want to hear on the day you stand before God? Isn't it this? Don't you want to hear the Lord Christ say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? So we need to cultivate faithfulness in those 3 ways. Determine to obey the Word of God. Secondly, remember and meditate on the faithfulness of God. Thirdly, remember that Christ is coming and you will give an account of whether or not you have been faithful with what He has given to you. May God grant that we as people, by His Spirit, grow in faithfulness, not only to Him, but also in our personal relationships with each other. And may we be diligent to use the means that God has given for us to cultivate faithfulness in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how often when we stop and ponder our lives, do we give You thanks for Your great faithfulness to us. We rejoice in the Lord our God because You are faithful. And we praise You and we worship You because of Your faithfulness. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, as Your sons and as Your daughters, that by Your Spirit You would continue to work in us the characteristic of faithfulness. We pray, our Father, that we would be faithful to You and faithful in our relationships to each other. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we determine to obey Your Word and as we remember and meditate upon Your faithfulness, as we remember that we will give an account to the Lord Christ for what we have done with what we have been given, we pray that You would stir up within us a greater desire and a greater commitment to faithfulness, that we might honor and glorify You. We pray in Jesus' name, Amen.